Pump up the volume on your parenting with Parent Pump Radio. Tune into something different that makes a difference. At Parent Pump Radio, instead of a ripple, we choose to create a splash. Get energized, get inspired, and get informed with how to parent in the new millennium. With your host and parent coach super guide, Jacqueline T.D. Nguyen.
Hi, this is Jacqueline T.D. Nguyen. We're here to pump up your parenting skills, pump up your knowledge, pump up your energy. So welcome to Parent Pump Radio. Our show is available on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher, and also syndicated on missionsradio.org and liveleadplay.com. So go to parentpumpradio.com, leave your questions, comments, and suggestions, and be sure to subscribe to our RSS feeds. You will be automatically notified of new shows. So parents, are you tired of having to yell, to nag, to punish your children, to get them to do things? Are there just so much power struggles and lack of engagement in your home that is driving you bananas? You know, studies show that the teens of today have the stress and anxiety level of a 1950s psychiatric patient. These children need our help, and if things aren't handled in the early years, it can only get worse in the teenage years. So imagine not having to yell, nag, punish your children to get them to do something. Imagine what it'd be like to walk into a room where you have the skills to effectively communicate in a way where your children and your family are engaged, everyone is working towards the same goal, and is really supportive of each other's feelings and need. Well, you know what? This can be a reality. My Harmonious Family Blueprint program teaches parents the technique to increase harmony, to increase joy. It's going to teach you how to communicate more effectively so that your family members will listen. The stress is going to be lowered. The enjoyment part of your life is going to increase. Now, there is a 3-month commitment to be in this program. So if you're interested, email me at info@integrativeminds.com. The link to that email is in the show notes. And be sure to get my Amazon number one best-selling book called Amazing Itty Bitty Book on Family Leadership. It's just $6.99 for the paperback and $2.99 on Kindle. And you can also find that link in the show notes. Today's show, we're going to talk about a hidden epidemic that's going on with our children. They are suffering from child abuse and neglect. It's actually a widespread war against our children that we as adults have the power to stop. And understanding this issue is really the first step. Understanding that abuse isn't just physical and sexual, it's also emotional abuse, emotional neglect, and physical neglect. Just how bad is this issue in the U.S.? A report of child abuse is made every 10 seconds. The U.S. actually has one of the worst records among industrialized nations, losing on average between 4 and 7 children every day to child abuse and neglect. These children are and will be the adults running around in our society, running businesses, your boss, your coworker. Our society is affected by these adverse childhood experiences. And if you want to know more about how an adult is affected by the adverse child experience, please listen to our previous show, number 37, about shocking results from the adverse childhood experience study. Now, today, our show is about an organization that is doing something to help these children who are currently experiencing child abuse and neglect. They are called Bikers Against Child Abuse, BACA for short. And on our show today, we have one of the members. He is the Los Angeles president and California state president of BACA. Now, all the members do not use their real name, obviously for safety reason, and they go by a road name. So ladies and gentlemen, I would love to introduce you to Tiny. Hi, Tiny.
Hi, how are you doing, Jacqueline?
I'm very good. So you were just in court today helping a child out.
Yes, I was. Yes, I was.
I know with BACA, I've read a lot about you before the show, is all of you guys go into the courtroom together to support the kids. It must be very intimidating for the people in the courtroom.
It can be at times. We're primarily there for the child. Sometimes we will have situations where family members of the perpetrators will be there, and maybe they're there to try to intimidate the child. But we keep a wall of security around them, or what we like to call a wall of leather around the child to isolate them from those family members. So the child's there and they can feel safe. And when it comes time to testify, we escort that child into the courtroom and we will sit out in the audience and focus our attention on that child so they can get up and they can tell their story of, you know, what happened to them and the abuse that they suffered.
So let's step back because I want to get to know more about you. What is it that makes you so passionate about children's cause, and how did you get involved with BACA?
Well, I got involved with BACA back in 2010, actually. I was just a motorcycle rider. I used to go out and hang out in different locations. And one day my sister, who's a nurse, was at an event, and she brought a BACA trifold home to show to me. And I read it from cover to cover, and I thought, you know what, if this is what they say it is, or this is, you know, what the information I'm reading on here, I said, I could do this. Being that I experienced quite a bit of abuse as a child, something that really attracted me to it, because I thought, you know, if I could help the kids out there, I said, why not give it a shot?
So once you contacted BACA, then you can automatically join then?
Well, it's a process you have to go through. What I did is I went onto the BACAworld.org site, and I found the local chapter closest to me. I contacted the president, and I asked what I could do to join. And actually, they had a run they were doing that weekend. It was during Christmas, so they were doing a run with another organization, just a toy run. And BACA doesn't do toy runs, but they were participating in it. So I went and I met the members. I got a little more information, and then I went to my first meeting, and actually I had to go to two meetings. And after my second meeting, I went and I got live scanned. Now, the reason I got live scanned was BACA wanted to make sure that I did not have any background as far as child abuse or anything like that. So I had to do an FBI and DOJ background check.
That definitely makes sense. These children are already abused, right? I want to read the Bikers Against Child Abuse mission statement. I'm going to read a few sentences out of it because I think it's really important for the listeners to know what they stand for. So BACA exists with the intent to create a safer environment for abused children. And they also desire to send a clear message to all involved with the abused child that this child is part of their organization, that they are prepared to lend their physical and emotional support to them by affiliation and their physical presence. And they stand ready to shield these children from further abuse. They do not condone the use of violence or physical force in any manner. However, if circumstances arise such that they are the only obstacle preventing a child from further abuse, they stand ready to be that obstacle. What type of abuse cases does BACA handle?
So like you mentioned in your intro, we handle sexual abuse, physical abuse, neglect, and emotional abuse. Those are the four types of abuse that we handle. We're really not there for, custody battles, something along that line. It's when the child has suffered some type of abuse.
Yeah, so you're there for the child and protecting the child.
Correct. And we don't get involved until there has been a case or until a charge has been filed. Once a charge has been filed and a case has been established, at that point, typically either the family will contact us or an agency will contact us, depending if the family wants us involved. And then that's when it goes to our child liaison, who will then vet the case and make sure that it's a fit for what we do.
How does BACA protect the kids' privacy?
Well, none of our members, really the only person that knows most of the case would be our child liaison, who gathers that information, and she or he would get that information and discuss it with the family, what happened to the child. Well, not really discuss, but what I mean is by to know that it's a fit for what we do. The way we protect our privacy is we don't even know that child's name. As we use road names, we also allow the child to pick their own road name. Now, the reason we use road names is in most cases, the defense attorney does not want that child's family in court with them. So they'll subpoena the family members. And when the child has to get out and testify, those family members cannot go in to court with them.
Wow.
Right. So they can't subpoena Tiny, and they can't subpoena Santa, and they can't subpoena whatever road name we use, there's no way to subpoena us. So at that point, we can go into the court with them, and we can sit there and be that support for them. Otherwise, these children are left to go into court all by themselves.
Yeah, and I've been in court, and it's scary, and I'm adult.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, if there's nobody in there in the court with them, a lot of times these children they'll freeze up. They won't testify. They'll get scared. And at the end of the day, the perpetrator is going to walk away, and they're going to be free to do it all over again to some other child. That emotional support I found has been, it's big. I mean, we've had kids tell us, you know, or actually tell judges, you know, they'll ask him, "How come you're not afraid?" And he's like, "You know, my friends are scarier than that person is." And so, yeah, you know, you get a bunch of big, ugly bikers going to the court with a kid, and it's powerful. It really is.
On average, how many bikers are in the courtroom with a child?
Oh, boy. Well, in our case, I've seen anywhere from 15 to, I think one day we had almost 50 or 40 to 50 of us.
Wow.
It just depends on how big the courtroom is.
And, yeah.
You know, I mean, we were just on a case recently. It was a very high profile case. And the families of the perpetrators, because there was more than one, filled the courthouse. And then when we walked in with our kid, the judges typically will not let you stand or sit on a floor or stand up against a wall. You know, you have to have somewhere to sit. Well, this judge let all of us in the courtroom. So we were sitting on the floor, leaning up against the wall. They brought chairs from the other side of the wall into the audience for us to sit at. And so we filled that courtroom up to capacity. So, you know, a lot of times it depends on the judges too, but
yeah.
But yeah, on average, there's usually, in our case, at least 20 to 30 of us in the courtroom with that child.
And so you obviously meet with these children before the court date, so they get to know you and trust you and how you're going to help them.
Correct. At first, we do what we call an initial visit, and that's where we get the information. Our child liaison gets to speak with the parent or the guardian about the case. And then we get to do a little introduction with the child. We allow them at that time, if they want, to pick a road name. We find out, you know, what they're into, like sports, video games, things like that. Because what we do is we put together a little cut for them. What we call a cut is the vest that we wear. And we allow them to pick a back patch. It's a box of back patches. There's a few different ones. We let them pick their own road name. Before we do our level one visit, our child liaison will put that cut together and get those tags on there. We order up the tags and everything, and we get the road names on there, the back patch on there. And then we do what we call level one. Now, level one is when they get to meet us all. And typically on a level one visit, they'll have anywhere from, 25 to 50 motorcycles show up. At that time, we all introduce ourselves to the child. We will present them with their cut. We also present them with a teddy bear. But before we present them with the teddy bear, we fill it with hugs. Everybody gives that bear a good squeeze and passes it along. And that's our biker love, and it never goes away. It never empties out. Once everybody fills that bear with hugs, we give that to the child. And then the last thing we do is we give them a blanket. And it's a big blanket, and it has a Baca logo on it. And it's, again, something that they could keep with them and sleep with at night where they feel secure. Then the fun part comes where we take them for a ride. And we allow the child to pick the motorcycle they want to go for a ride on. And it's always a patch member that will give them the ride. And what we do is we set up a ride team where we have these children. Basically, the child is inside a box. And the ride team surrounds them, and we take them for a motorcycle ride. And if those children weren't smiling then, when we're all done with that ride, I haven't seen a child yet that wasn't smiling from ear to ear, and it just gets them excited and happy, you know. So, and that's how we welcome them into the family.
Okay. And so it sounds like it's almost an initiation that you're doing to show that they are a part of your family.
Right. And while we're doing all of this, we're letting them make their choices. We're letting them, you know, sometimes we will do these level ones, and a child doesn't want to go for a ride on a motorcycle, and that's fine. We don't try to push it. We don't try to force it, because primarily, what we're trying to do is we're trying to empower them. We're trying to give them their choices back. We're not going to make the choices for them. If it's something they don't want to do, then we're not going to force it on them. But if it's something they want to do, then by all means, we're going to get out there and we're going to take them for a good ride.
And now you said that's a level one.
Correct.
Does that mean there's a level two then?
Yeah, now level two is a little bit different. Now, if the perpetrator, the threat is not locked up, not in jail, maybe doing drive-bys of the house, phone calls, or threatening the child in any way where the child's afraid, what we do is a level two, and we will set up a security team out front, out back of the house. Basically, we surround the property with anywhere from typically four members at a time, and we do it in shifts. But we will stand guard outside their home 24/7 until that child isn't afraid anymore or until that threat no longer comes around. And we do it. It's not a 8-to-5 shift or something like that. When I say 24/7, we're there night and day.
Wow.
You know, that's something that local law enforcement can't do. Your child agencies, they can't do it. But, you know, we're the only organization I know of that does something like that.
Yeah.
And these kids love it. And, you know, they sleep at night.
Yeah.
A lot of times there's kids, they don't, they haven't smiled, they haven't laughed, they haven't played in months. And after we've done a level one or after we've gone as far as level twos, I mean, you got calls from the parents that, wow, this is the first time they've laughed. This is, you know, the first time they haven't been afraid. And so it takes the fear away from these kids. I actually had a case not too long ago. This young girl did not want to go to her graduation from middle school. She didn't want no part of it. After she met us, when we left there, her mom called us and let us know that she wanted to go get her dress for her graduation. She wanted to go get her makeup and nails and everything done, and she was ready to go. I mean, it went from not wanting any part of it to, okay, I'm ready to do this now. And you know, really all we do is show up.
Yeah. Well, no, you do more than show up. You, like you said, you empower them to feel that they have the power within them to stand up against this, knowing that you guys are there for them. So you do a lot more than showing up.
Well, that's the easy part for us. We show up, and yeah, once they're empowered, I mean, it's amazing how it works. It really is.
Yeah. So what happens if the child moves away? Can they join another BACA group, or what happens?
Now, if a child moves away and they let us know they're moving, we will already be getting in contact with the local chapter in their area.
Mm-hmm.
So when that child shows up and they get to wherever it is they're going, that chapter will kind of reintroduce themselves. They'll have like a level one where their chapter will come out. They'll meet the kid, let them know that we're there for them, or they're there for them. Once a BACA child, always a BACA child. We're now having a lot of BACA children that are becoming adults that are now becoming BACA members.
Yeah, they're giving back, right? So you're doing more than just empowering. You're creating children who become adults who are changing the face of abuse and giving back. And I'm sure they're much better parents because of you guys.
What they have found is it's breaking the cycle of child abuse, because children that don't get the type of help that we can give them, in a lot of cases, people that have been abused will turn around and become adults, and then they'll continue the cycle, then they start doing it. Whereas BACA children, they have found, and I know there's a study out there, it still hasn't been completed yet as far as I know, but they have found that it's breaking that chain, it's breaking that cycle, where these children, you know, they're not repeating it. They're turning around and they're looking for children to empower, becoming productive.
Yeah. I had talked earlier about that study. It's the Adverse Childhood Experience Study. They had like five-figure participant. And this is what you're talking about, experiences in your childhood that were adverse, and how does it affect people as an adult. and it is shocking, the results. It is our show number 37, but you can actually just Google Adverse Childhood Experience Study, and there's an assessment that you can take. There's 10 questions, and if these are things that you experience as a child, this is what you may be experiencing as an adult if you don't make that change, like you're saying.
Correct.
We have to break this cycle.
We would love nothing more than to work ourselves out of a job where all we have to do is ride. But I mean, we've got a long road ahead of us. We're going to keep working away at it and helping as many kids as we can.
Absolutely. So what agency does BACA work with?
Pretty much any agencies that deal with child abuse, not only child abuse, but I mean, there's schools. We've had schools that have passed our information along to children or along to families, law enforcement, the district attorney's offices, or you got Department of Child and Family Services. I mean, there's just so many out there that we have had contact with. One of the things that we're trying to work closely with now is the private therapist, therapy groups, because BACA was founded by a child play therapist back in 1995, I believe it was. It pretty much started back then where he was having a problem with, you know, he would help these kids. They would go to court and freeze up.
Yeah.
He decided one day, because he came up in the biker world and grew up in the biker world, that he would just take him and some of his buddies and go to court with this kid. And so they did that, and they sat out in the audience while the child got up on the stand and had to testify. And he got up there and he told the story, and that the perpetrator was found guilty and he was sentenced and he was put away. And he thought, you know what, I'm onto something here. And that was, like I said, in 1995, and now we're an international organization. We're in about, oh boy, I forgot how many countries we're in now, at least 14 other countries at least. I mean, you could go onto our website and see where all our chapters are and get more information on us also.
If somebody who is a listener knows of a child that's being abused or wants to do something to help, they can go on your webpage and they can be in many places around the world and BACA can reach out to help them.
Correct.
Obviously, law enforcement, you were saying, is someone that you work with. So are they pretty supportive of BACA then?
The more they're getting to know us, the more they are, yes. Yes. I mean, you know, there's a biker persona out there and not everybody understands that. I mean, sometimes they look at us as a group of maybe like we're hoodlums or we're criminals or something like that. But that, you know, we're far from that. BACA is an organization. We are not a motorcycle club or a motorcycle gang, but we're an organization. We're a 501c3 organization. And we're made up of all volunteers. Nobody gets paid for what we do. We do it all on our own time. I'm fortunate enough to be retired. So being retired, I get to spend a lot of time going to court and doing these, you know, doing different functions to help kids. A lot of our members and supporters, they work. And so they do what they can on the weekends. And people with flexible schedules are able to take time off and go to court during the week.
Glad that law enforcement are getting to know you guys more so they're not intimidated or scared.
We get put into different groups. You know, and that's the other thing, too, is we get along good with all the different motorcycle groups out there also, because we're not out there to claim any kind of territory or thing like that. Our goal is to help children, and wherever we can do it, we will do it. We're accepted by all. We really have no problems with anyone.
Now, before you go to court, do you contact the sheriff's office in the courtroom so that they know you're coming and they're prepared? Or you guys just all show up and everybody's... You know, I mean, I think it'd be kind of cool just to see you guys, 25, 50 of you guys showing up as a surprise visit.
Well, in the L.A. Orange County area, San Bernardino area where I go to court, they all pretty much know who we are now. We don't need to contact them.
Okay.
When they see us roll in, they know why we're there.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're very supportive. I mean, I went to a court. It was a courthouse, I guess it was about a year ago, the first time there. Actually, I had a bailiff walk up and give me a hug and say, I'm so glad to see you guys here. I was wondering when I was going to see you. So, I mean, it was our first time there and he knew who we were.
Yeah.
And he was happy to see us there. He knew why we were there. So,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. We really have no problem with the law enforcement and the courts. Sometimes, I mean, in new courts, you know, if they don't know who we are, we got to kind of introduce ourselves and let them know. But, you know, once they know who we are, it works out pretty well.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of one of those sad yet great things. Like, it's great that you're there to support the kids, but people know that if you're there, there's a child who is being abused.
Right.
So there's a sadness, and then there's this joy that, you know, you're able there to help them. It is so nice to know that there is an organization out there that can help children outside of law enforcement. Because like you said, there's only so much law enforcement can do. There's only so much Department of Child Protective Services that they can do, because they're not volunteers. You guys are volunteers.
While we're at court, we're also protecting that child's identity. Nobody comes around that child unless there's permission from the family or from the guardian. We've actually had the children isolated before, where an advocate came up that wanted to talk to them, and we wouldn't allow the advocate through until mom said yes or the guardian said yes. So even at court, nobody comes up and talks to that child or has interaction until we know who that person is. Because there has been cases before where, say, family members or friends of the perpetrator will try to get in and then speak with that child. So, yeah, we protect that kid until they get inside that courtroom.
Oh, that's so awesome. So how can people get more information regarding BACA, and if they want to report something, to see if you guys can help someone that they know?
To find their local chapter in their area, they could simply go to BACAworld.org, and that's BACAWORLD.org. There's a drop-down list up at the top. It's at the top right. It says chapters, and you hit that, and it'll drop down United States and gives you different countries. But if you're in the U.S., you can click on U.S. and then go to your state. And then typically there's a map on there that'll show you where the nearest chapter is, where you live. And by simply clicking on that, calling your local chapter, if it's a chapter that handles your area, they'll be able to help you. If, say, there's another chapter closer to you, they'll refer you over. That's where you want to start, is at BACAworld.org.
Okay, and so once they find out their local chapter from BACAworld.org, they'll be able to have a phone number to reach out to somebody to talk to.
Correct, yes. A helpline phone number for each chapter on there.
Okay, and you have a Facebook page too?
They can go to Bikers Against Child Abuse International. It's the Facebook page for the BACA.
Okay, sounds great. I'm going to have all that information in the show notes. You'll find the BACAworld.org website and also the Facebook page link. So you just have to click on it and you'll be able to go directly to where you need to go, listeners. Tiny, I want to say thank you so much for being on the show, and thank you for doing this, taking your time out to help these children, these families. I know that you are making much difference in this world.
Well, thank you for having me. And, you know, one thing I just want to let all your listeners know, and we hear it quite a bit, is we've heard before where people say, well, I'm not sure if my case was something you could handle. Don't make the assumption, please. Just make the phone call and let us make that decision, because something that you think that we may not be able to help with is something that it's exactly what we do. Again, once you get us involved, I guarantee you won't be sorry. These kids really love it, and it really makes a difference. So we're there to help the kids, and we just want to get the word out. So, Jacqueline, I thank you very much for having me on your show.
Okay. Well, listener, until next time, always be learning and always be growing. Thank you so much for joining us today. Go to parentpumpradio.com and click on the pink box on the top of our homepage to listen to our new and archived shows. To be instantly notified of new episodes, subscribe to our RSS feed. The RSS feed button is located at the top of the page where all our shows are featured. And after listening to the show, go to parentpumpradio.com or our Facebook page to leave your comments, questions, and topic suggestions. And while you're at our website, sign up to receive a free gift. Until next time, have a wonderful week.